The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Scotty Farrell out this week on vacation. Carver High and Mafia, Mike Carver, Brian Ciano here with you on a Monday night. We've got Monday Night Football going on. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. We've got Monday Night Football, like I just said. We've got all the action from the weekend. A lot of juicy NFL storylines as we head into Thanksgiving week. A ton of college football. A boatload of moves in the NBA. And maybe a few other things along the way. First of all, Mafia, welcome back. Mafia back after the wedding, the week off, the whole deal. How did it go? Did you enjoy a few days off? Oh,
of course. Anytime you get away for a little bit with how much we're into the show and doing all the things we do, it's good to unplug and kind of just turn off the brain for a little bit. Didn't even really watch, you know, a lot of sports until I got back later in the week in the UFC, of course. But it was a great time. You know, so I got away, enjoyed the wife for a couple of days, and now I'm recharged and ready to go.
So no Maction at the cabin for you, you know, on Tuesday or Wednesday night last week. You didn't throw, you know, the Ball State game on while you and Chris. Oh, there you go. There's a big pick. Let's go. So no Maction for you.
No, after that first week of us doing that and those bets, you know, hitting me hard so many different ways, I said, forget it. I'm done with the Mac. Moving on.
Update in the game here, Mavi. So this has actually been a really fun game. We're going to talk about this a lot here in the first hour. They're in the middle of the third quarter right now, 17-17, Tampa and the Rams. The Rams just missed a field goal. On the next possession, Tom tries to go deep for the Bucs, and he gets picked. He basically threw the ball. Easy pick for the safety, just playing center field for the Rams. A little bit of pressure from the Rams' defensive line. Tom shrugs his shoulders. Just unlucky for him. The Rams are going to take over in a tie game at about midfield, and we'll see if they can get anything going. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty Farrell on the bench, 844-843-6879. We get things rolling right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved on a Monday night. We've got a good one going between the Rams and the Bucks. Rams on the move after the Tommy Brady interception. Goff has him inside the 25 right now. We'll see if the Rams can cash in. I don't know where you were. Where were you on this game, Mafia? I was saying on Coast to Coast earlier with Keith, I really like the Rams tonight. Maybe not even so much to win the game and a strike over the middle to Reynolds, and let's tackle him inside the five so we can give Malcolm Brown a chance for a touchdown here, an anytime touchdown on FanDuel plus 260. I really like the Rams tonight. Basically, Moff, I thought the defensive line would give Brady some problems. I thought it would be the type of game where they would be in it. And even if they didn't win, the 4.5 seemed really juicy to me. What did you like in this game tonight?
Honestly, I didn't feel really great about either team on this one. I stayed away from it as far as playing it because, you know, the tight spread is probably where it should be, that 4, 4.5. You know, they're right about being the same team. And that's what trips me up, too, because both these teams, at times, you're looking like, oh, man, this is the best team in the NFC. And then the next 2 weeks, all of a sudden, they just stink. And you're like, where was what I just watched last week? It's been so hard to stick with either of these teams and really figure them out so far this year. As you know, it has been with a lot of the teams in the NFC, but especially these two. Because 1 week, they'll show you like they're the best. And then the next week, I mean, again, like I said, all the NFC. All of a sudden, the Saints are the number one, you know, record-wise in there. And has there been any game where you look at them and say, yeah, they're the best team in that conference and they should be in the Super Bowl? No, Seattle has a terrible defense. So, you know, they can put up a million points, but sometimes you look at them and are like, can you stop a cold? Like the whole NFC, the upper, you know, four or five teams, it's just so hard to figure them out week in and week out.
It really is. And you said it, it goes up and down. You know, there was a period where everybody thought the Packers were the best team. Everybody thought the Bucks were the best team. The Rams, really, for me, Mafia, I considered them a little bit of like a paper tiger before that win against the Seahawks. The win against the Seahawks last week really opened my eyes to the Rams a little bit. They seem tough to me. You start to look at some of their defensive metrics. They're very good on D. And by the way, Mafia, they now have the lead. Jared Goff throws a little swing pass to Akers. He gets in. So hopefully that this kicker who stinks, if he can make the extra point, we can have ourselves a 7-point game here. And it is good. So 24-17. The Rams now lead the Bucks with about 5.5 minutes to go in the third quarter. You're right about the up and down going on in this conference right now. Look at the Packers yesterday, Mafia. 28-14 lead at Indy. They blow it in the second half. I don't think that their defense is at all Super Bowl caliber. The Seahawks have shown plenty this year that their defense is it. The Saints do win yesterday. I guess with Breeze there, are they the best team? Can the Taysom Hill thing, and we'll get into this a lot tonight. This will be a bunch of the things that we talk about during the 2 hours. But, you know, is the Taysom Hill thing going to be sustainable, or will everybody who's going to play them the next few weeks watch that tape from yesterday and go, all right, this is how we're going to stop Taysom Hill? I think the AFC right now, Moff, a lot better when you look at the top teams, Kansas City, Pittsburgh, et cetera, than what you got going on at the top of the NFC.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that. I feel a lot more confident with the AFC right now with the Pittsburgh and Kansas City. And, of course, both those teams have times where you look at the defense, you're like, what are you doing? You're supposed to be all world. You're letting some of these teams, you know, put up points. So that's one reason I was kind of scared of that Pittsburgh spread yesterday, because you look at it and you're like, yeah, they should murder this team. But Luton's done, you know, a couple of games this year where, again, they should get smoked. And you're like, oh, wait, they're in this game in the fourth quarter. What's going on? And the Steelers have had, a tendency of doing that, too. They've let teams hang in there and be in games that they shouldn't, that they should be just blowing them out, even though they're putting up points, because they're just kind of bend, don't break a little too much at times, that defense, because they know they're so good that they're like, yeah, we can let you get down to the red zone. It's not going to get in the end zone. We'll just let you get a field goal, whatever. You're not going to keep up with us. So I still feel confident in those teams, though, because even though they'll give up points at times, their offenses can put them up on a whim. You know, these NFC teams, sometimes their offenses are all world and they're lighting things up and McVay's a genius. Sometimes, you know, they could barely put two passes together before they got to put the ball away. So it's so up and down on both sides of the ball for those teams. At least in the AFC, you know those offenses are going to do good. I mean, did anybody really come into that game at the end of Sunday Night Football last night with Patrick Mahomes getting the ball with less than 2 minutes left and be like, oh, no, David Carr just put it in the end zone. I mean, Derek Carr put it in the end zone. Like, Raiders are going to win this game. No. Yeah, I looked at the clock and said, you gave him way too much time, just like you did with, Peyton and Brady all those years. You're just like, you gave this guy a minute 45 and he has a timeout, so forget it. You're done.
Yeah, I think you saw yesterday the two guys still in this league that if you give them the rock, you know, down a score to either tie it or go ahead, they are still super dangerous no matter the situation. Mahomes is one. You give him any, he's going to get it done. And even Rodgers, I know they didn't win the game, and their offense was kind of the reason in the second half that they lost it. But when he got the ball back with just over a minute to go, he did get the Packers down the field for the game-tying field goal. I want to get to you about the Rams here because the Rams are interesting to me. Goff doesn't, you know, when you think of Jared Goff, you think of moments like you saw at the beginning of this half where he throws that awful pick to JPP, I think it was actually, who got that ball there at the line of scrimmage. But like, look at what he's done here tonight. Again, over 300 yards. He goes over the passing prop that we talked about this afternoon, which was like 274. He's got 302, 31 of 37, three touchdowns for him tonight. It's safe plays, Mafia. It's nothing flashy. It's like Sean McVay, and this is why I don't like when they call him a genius, but he knows what he's doing in the aspect of he knows what he has in Goff. He knows what his limitations are, and he sets the game plan to make sure that Goff is only doing X, Y, and Z, which you've seen it. It's short screen passes, short passes over the middle, getting rid of the ball quickly. That's the plan that McVay has for Goff, and he does it perfectly.
He absolutely does. And, you know, please don't take this as me saying he is as good as this guy, because obviously that is not the case whatsoever. But you look at the other side of the field, and this is kind of, you know, exactly to a degree what the Patriots did early on with Tom Brady. I mean, you know, for the first like 5 years of Tom Brady being, you know, the superstar quarterback, I'm like, is he really that good? It's all screen passes and things within 5 yards, and then they break him off into something else. That's what they do with Goff. I mean, you saw at the end of the half to set up that field goal where they throw it to Robert Woods and then everyone else blocks and he just breaks it off for a 50-yard run, you know, to get down to the 20 and set up the field goal. It wasn't like it was a great pass. It wasn't a great, you know, route that he ran and beat the guy and then he just laid it in perfectly over top. It was just like, here, you take it, go make something happen. And, you know, that's what we've seen some of these guys do, especially in their older age. You know, now we've seen that with Breeze, you know, with Kamara in New Orleans, when he's been in there, it's kind of just give it to him and see if he can make something happen. We've seen some of these other guys do it. I mean, that's the problem when you have guys like Foles and Trubisky in Chicago. Like, they don't have the other guys on that offense to make those plays and make guys miss. When you have Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and the guys around them that throw some blocks, works out pretty well for you.
And the Bucs are going to punt again here, Mafia. Three and out for them. Brady tried a deep shot, just missed. AB, that was, who was streaking down on the left side, just beyond his reach. A couple good plays by the Ram defense during this series. So, and now they're going to get the punt return right now, and they'll start at their own 20. So just under 5 minutes now. Didn't take a lot of time off the clock either. That was a very fast three and out for the Ram defense. And now this is a big moment in the game, Moff. Huge moment here. Because the way that the Ram D-line is starting to get some pressure on Brady, he's not making very good throws, and that can change at any moment. He is Tom Brady. But Rams can go down and get a touchdown here, either at the end of this quarter or maybe early in the fourth, and get up two touchdowns. I'm feeling real good about the Rams here, Moff.
Yeah, absolutely. If they get a touchdown and make it a two-possession, two-touchdown game, I feel really good about them winning this game, not even just covering, because you know, you're going to take a couple minutes off the clock here. Even as good as they can be scoring-wise, they're not like the always the quick strike offense. I think you'll get through at least this quarter before they put the ball in the end zone if they do. And then you're only giving Tom another two or three possessions. And the way that he's kind of getting frustrated at times in this game, I wouldn't, you know, have a lot of confidence in him getting that done that quick.
Kupp's got 9 catches for 109 yards. Woods has over 100 yards receiving as well. They have not ran the ball, though, at all. So if they do build a little bit of a lead here going into the fourth, they're going to need to run the football. Hendon, they just tried again, and they are going nowhere on the ground. So Rams are going to need to get something going if they do want to drain some clock and get a little bit of a lead here. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia on a Monday night in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep it rolling right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. we can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty this week. 844-843-6879. We are here tonight, Tuesday and Wednesday. And then happy Thanksgiving to everybody out there on Thursday. Mafia, the Rams still have the ball. They're about midfield. A big third down for them. 2 minutes to go in the third quarter. They have a 7-point lead over the Bucks, which this would be a really big win for the Rams. You know, the Rams, coming off the win over the Seahawks, if they can get a win on the road in Tampa, be a massive win for them. I believe they play the Niners at home next week. So they've got a chance to maybe build momentum into them being one of the teams you talk about at the time. They keep trying these screens. You knew eventually the Bucks were going to sniff one of these out, Mafia. Once again on third down, the Rams try the little pop screen to the left side. Bucks all over it. They're going to punt. So the Bucks will get the ball back here, Maf, just under 2 minutes to go in the third quarter.
Well, it took them long enough to do that. I mean, we're just looking at put up those next end stats in the break. And Goff was, with less than 2.5 seconds, 19 of 20. So you think they're throwing it pretty quickly? Like maybe say, hey, get up on the line. Don't let them go anywhere because this guy's not taking any time.
Yeah, we'll keep our eyes on this one as we keep going here throughout the night. A couple of these games from the weekend. Let's dive into the Saints a little bit, Maf, because Breeze goes out. He's got a billion cracked ribs. He's got the collapsed lung. They claim he's going to be back in 3 weeks. Man, that's some healing if Breeze is going to be back from all those broken ribs and collapsed lungs in that kind of time. But you get the news that Hill's going to play quarterback. It came out late last week. I know you weren't in. Hill's going to take all the snaps. Winston's not even in the game plan. And I thought, this guy, he's been a gadget player for them for the last couple of years, never really has had an opportunity to get under center for an extended period of time. And you know that Sean Payton loves this guy. So he's probably, it's like Mafia, you buy that car, and you leave it in the garage, and like you're waiting for like an old vintage car. You leave it in the garage, you never touch it, and then like a nice day comes out, you finally get to play with it and get to drive it and use your new toy. That's like what Sean Payton was with Hill on Sunday. I can finally use this guy, because if I use him too much when Breeze is in the game, people will start to question it. And he unleashed him off. I gotta say, I was wrong about this. Hill could throw. I know he played quarterback at BYU, but he actually threw the football with a little zip. Like, there was even a couple of balls where like it got to Michael Thomas and he's not used to the ball coming in so fast, because usually Breeze is throwing him those little lobs because he can't throw the ball fast anymore. Like, the ball was coming in with so much heat that even Thomas was like a little taken aback. What did you think of Taysom Hill and his performance starting a NFL game for the first time yesterday?
Yeah, well, just like the guys who get the sports car out of the garage for the first time in a long time, you put the pedal to the metal a little too much, it seems like. You heard Kaplan talking about that on Coast to Coast earlier, where, runs him 10 times. And it's like, all right, when you don't need him every play, you're like, okay, go ahead, just do whatever. Right. If he gets hurt, he's throwing the next guy. But when he's the guy that has to do most of the snaps and is getting most of the snaps in practice, you're like, whoa, let's downshift a little bit here and take the Hills a little easier here, because we need this guy, no pun intended, with the Hills thing. But, I mean, he performed great. He did a great job, and he did much better than I expected. Honestly, I thought Atlanta was going to cover that 4.5, because their offense, could put up points, and the defense for New Orleans had been struggling at times this season. But I guess once Julio went out, they were just done for. They got nothing going and looked like the team that they've been all season. But I expect them to put up a little more of a fight point-wise, but they didn't. And Hill looked great, and he threw the ball a lot better. There was a couple, though. He threw that duck up to Sanders that he had to come back and get that. It's amazing. There was no one else underneath that could have stolen that away from him. So there were some bad throws. There were a lot of good throws. But here's going to be the situation now. We were seeing him last week, and that's the first time anyone has extended footage on him, because all the other plays are gadget plays that he's come in for. Now you have a full start on him. Are there tendencies that you notice that people are going to start to exploit in week two or week three? Because we know that Breeze is out at least 3 weeks. And They might say he's back, going to be, you know, once he's done, he'll be healed in 2-3 weeks, be good to go and no problems. But I mean, the guy's old, you know, he probably should have retired last year or the year before. Takes you longer to heal those. It takes a lot, you know, harder for you to play with those injuries than you did when you were young, when he was Hill's age. So if he's out an extended time, if he's out even more than that 3 weeks, do people start to figure things out? Or if, you know, somehow he holds on to that job and becomes a starter next year, is it a situation where, you know, Wildcat in Miami, where it's like for a couple games, it was like, wow, how do we stop this? It's impossible. And then all of a sudden, everyone knows how to stop it and it doesn't work at all and you have to switch things up completely? That remains to be seen.
Yeah, and it's an interesting point. Will the teams take all of that film from Sunday's game against the Falcons and start to realize that if you can shut down Hill from running the football, let's make him throw the entire time? And we've seen it with running quarterbacks in the past, right? I mean, look, I don't want to say completely with Jackson. Jackson had an unbelievable year. He deserved to win the MVP. He threw the football. He ran the football, etc. And I'm not comparing at all Taysom Hill to Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's MVP for a reason. But when you get some film on a guy and you see that this is what they're going to do, you try to stop that and you try to exploit it. And Taysom Hill is not Lamar Jackson. It's going to be easier and quicker for defenses and these coordinators to find ways to slow down Hill if he's going to be in the game the entire time. So I'm interested to see how that goes for the Saints going forward, because they are the team right now, Moff. They're the team, and they're going to Denver this week. They're a 5.5-point road favorite right now at Mile High. We saw that Denver defense yesterday. We'll get into that game a little bit later. We saw the Denver D yesterday. They can be, you know, they could put some pressure on guys, and maybe they can get after Hill a little bit and bottle up the run somewhat. Interesting game for the Saints going out to Mile High. Mafia, big moment in this game here. Brady got hit in the end zone throwing the football, and I think it was out beforehand. Now it looks like, are they reviewing this play, or did they call it incomplete? Wow, Tom's going to get away with one here. That really looked like a fumble. Did you see this play, Mafia?
I see it. It's so hard to tell right now with what they call fumbles and not fumble. Like, by logical thinking, you look at it and be like, yeah, he wasn't really throwing that ball. He had nothing on it. But, you know, you would have thought the same thing when you saw that Philip Rivers one at the end of that game, you know, that should have won it for Green Bay yesterday. Green Bay shouldn't have had to go to overtime because Philip Rivers did not have control of that ball. Don't give me one finger is enough to say the guy's possession is actually trying to throw the ball and it's an incomplete instead of a fumble. But that's the way, you know, they give the benefit of the doubt to these quarterbacks, especially ones that have been around a long time, especially Tom Brady. We know that the rule was set up because of Tom Brady and the, you know, respect and the, you know, benefit of the doubt that they give him. So, of course, they don't really review that. They don't really give it a look and say, hey, this guy didn't really have control of the ball. They just say, nope, incomplete. Go ahead, kick it. And that's what happens.
Yeah, and you know what? In that spot, Mafia, like, they automatically review the turnovers. So, like, if you call it a fumble, you're going to go and look at it again anyway. When you call it an incomplete pass, then you put it on the coach that he has to make the decision and he has to burn a challenge and he has to burn a timeout. So sometimes in that spot, you know, you do. Now, I can't hear the game. Me and you were doing the show. I don't know if McVay actually challenged that. They went to a commercial before the fourth down play. They came back from commercial, and he was punting. So I'm not sure if McVay challenged or not or if they reviewed it. But either way, I think that, man, that was close. They almost got Tommy in the end zone there for a little fumble rooski. That would have been really nice to see. I want to get into this one too, Moff. Cowboys, now 3-7. They come off the bye. I loved them yesterday. Coming off the bye, Minnesota on a short week on a Monday night on the road in Chicago. They'd been playing a lot better. They come home. Cowboys get Dalton back. They got a little extra rest. I liked the 7 that the Cowboys were getting. I didn't exactly expect them to win the game outright, but they played really well, and their D, despite the amount of points they gave up, their D played a lot better than they were playing back in September. So I ask you this, Mafia. Cowboys are now 3-7. Everybody's got 3 wins in that division. I looked at the schedule before. Very favorable for the Cowboys compared to the rest of the NFC East. They have Washington Thursday on Thanksgiving. They have Cincinnati. They have the Eagles and the Giants again, which are huge games, and they could beat both of those teams. They have San Francisco at home, who's not as good this year. They have one really tough game left, and that's Baltimore. The Cowboys might have a little juice to win this NFC East, and I got it on FanDuel earlier, Mafia, at plus 250, because the other team's schedules are brutal. The Cowboys play like yesterday. They can win that division now.
Listen, it doesn't even matter about the schedules. You know, I picked them to win the division before the year started. I thought they'd be a lot better, obviously, like everyone else. Then Dak goes down, and then Dalton gets concussed. I was surprised with how well he played yesterday coming off the concussion. And, I mean, obviously, the one catch by Lamb is obviously all Lamb. You can't give that to Dalton because that was completely off-thrown, and he had to completely contort his body and get the catch there. But, I mean, like you said, the defense, they give a bunch of points, but if you're not giving up at this point 150 to 180 yards on the ground and three touchdowns to Dalvin Cook, you had a good day. And that's what that defense did. They pretty much took him out of that game at times. They made them throw it, and they did throw it. They threw it with success. You know, Thielen had the one-handed catch. Jefferson had a nice catch in the, you know, late for the touchdown as well. But they played tougher. And for them, that's, you know, enough of a performance for you to say, given what's going on at division, they're probably going to win it. They still have the best talent, even with Dalton at quarterback. Giants are playing better. They're playing tough, but they're not getting, you know, wins against good teams yet. Eagles, you've just been waiting all season for the other shoe to drop and Wentz to all of a sudden be good because, you know, oh, well, this guy's injured or he has no receivers and this and that. Keeps getting his running backs back, keeps getting receivers back. Still sucks. So at this point, I am completely sold on them. The Giants are going to play tight. They might make it interesting. Washington's going to be tough with their defense. They're going to make it interesting with Alex Smith. But still, the Cowboys have the best talent left in that division, even with Dalton the quarterback, and they're going to win it.
Yeah, they really do, especially if they can stay healthy. Eagles' schedule is a bear. I'll tell you when we come back what the Eagles have left to go. Rams up 24-17. They just started the fourth quarter. Carver, High, and Mafia in for Pharrell on the bench. We keep it rolling right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver, High, and Mafia in for Scotty. He's on vacation. 844-843-6879. We are locked in on the Rams and the Bucks Monday Night Football. A good one in the NFC. An important one, too. 24-17, the Rams lead. Bucks have the ball at their own, about their own 35, with about 12 and a half minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. And he was looking for Brown there, Mafia. I am on the Antonio Brown receiving prop tonight, over 57 and a half yards. He has 48 right now, Mafia. So we are looking for Antonio Brown to pick up one more catch to get us a little something in the kitty here for tonight.
I know you're riding him the first week as an anytime touchdown scorer. Has that bet been placed every game so far?
It has not. I did it the first game. I thought about it tonight. You know, when I looked early this morning, he had the best odds. You know, he was the top guy of all the Tampa players. He was plus 140. And then, because, like, think about it. Like, he hasn't scored yet. I guess they're starting to angle it towards that. I mean, and Fournette stinks. I mean, he's dropped, like, six balls tonight. You could see Brady is just, he's had enough of Leonard Fournette. Get him off the field. But I thought it was weird. Like, he had better, you know, less odds than Evans, than Jones, than everything. And then it kind of, as we got closer to game time, he moved down to, like, second or third in terms of the odds, but I have not played it since that first game. But last week he had, I think he was in the 60s in receiving yards. So it seemed like Tom was starting to get him involved a little bit more. He's had a lot of targets. He's got the, he has 48 yards right now. We'd like to see him get a couple more, and he's tried him on a few deep throws. And the Rams, they are all over Brady, Mafia. And this is always the key
did
in the
just
past.
Did double throw that?
Yes, I think he did. This is always the key, Mafia, to beat this guy. No matter how old, he's old now, even when he was young. What's the way to beat Tom Brady? Get in his face, knock him down, bat balls at the line. The Rams, this is why I like the Rams tonight more than anything. Forget the silly, they don't play well in primetime thing. The real thing is they don't play well against teams with really good defensive lines, and you're seeing the Rams do it again tonight. Nice job by them. And why did he double? Yeah, you're right, Mafia. He double threw that. What is Brady doing there?
I don't know if that was like really, because it wasn't like he grabbed it and like reset his hand and threw it. He kind of like one-handed it and then just kind of like chucked it away. I don't know if that was, oh, I'm going to try to get this past him and see if they don't notice this, or get this ball out of my hand before somebody kills me.
That was really bizarre right there. And I did get an update, by the way. I was asking if McVay challenged that play in the end zone or not. He did challenge that play. That's why they came back from the break. They did not obviously overturn it. And the Rams only have one timeout now. That was just silly by Brady. I don't know what Brady was doing there. I told you I wanted to give you the Eagles schedule. Because I think that the Cowboys, I told you, they're at three right now. If they win their division games, they beat the Redskins, the Giants, the Washington football team. Sorry, Mafia. The Washington football team. If they beat Washington, if they beat the Eagles, and if they beat the Giants, that's three wins. Cincinnati is four. If they ever beat San Francisco, that's five. If they just win four of those five games, Mafia, they're going to get to seven wins. The Eagles have three right now. Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Arizona, Dallas, and Washington. How are the Eagles going to get to six wins, let alone seven wins of all those games? And the Giants are just as bad. They play the Seahawks. They play the Ravens. They play the Cardinals. How are these other – the Cowboys clearly have the best path.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And people were talking about that early in the season, you know, guys like Adam Kaplan, some of these guys that know and, you know, do that look ahead. They're saying, listen, that the beginning of the schedule for them is brutal. After that, it gets easy. That's why we all kind of figure, okay, well, once they get through this hard part, Dak's going to light it up and they're going to be good. And then, like we said, he went out, Dalton went out, and you're picking guys off the street and, you know, and Gilbert and these other guys. So it wasn't a good situation there. But now they got Dalton back. It's set up for them to do that. Like you said, the schedule's completely in their favor. They're playing a lot better than they were a couple weeks ago without him and, you know, in this first start with them. So this is a situation that, you know, Jerry Jones got to be licking his chops. Although he's so crazy and senile at this point, he might think they're already in first and, you know, by five games. Who knows? But it works out well for them. You know, they should be in the playoffs and then, you know, they can go get slaughtered in the first round.
No, you're right. And I do expect that whoever wins that division to get slaughtered in the first round. But I think that if they can at least get to seven, Mafia, like the complete embarrassment that everybody's talked about all year, NFC least, so embarrassing. Like, we've had 7-9 teams make the playoffs in the past 15 years. Like, it has happened. It's not something new. It's gone on.
Won a playoff game at 7-9, right?
Right. The Marshawn Lynch game where the beast mode against the Saints up in Seattle that day. But so it's not like it would be the worst thing in the world if a 7-win team made the playoffs. If a 5-win team made the playoffs, that would be a legit embarrassment. But I think that the Cowboys, because of that schedule, maybe will give us a chance to not have a 5-11 or a 6-10 team possibly making the playoffs, which would really that would look kind of ugly. One more in the NFC, and then maybe we'll bounce around a little more, is the Packers. Because they showed it again yesterday, Moff. They really did show it again that I'm not going to trust them in a big spot in the playoffs against a good team. Because when we've seen them play good teams this year, something goes wrong for them. The offense has a stretch like the second half yesterday. And they had and I know that you want to get on the defense up 28-14. Think about what the Packer offense did, Mafia. I mean, after the Colt touchdown, three and out. After the next Colt touchdown, what did the guy fumble the kickoff? Another three and out mixed in there as well. Their offense went away when they needed them to, you know, maybe have even a little bit of an extended drive to keep the Packer D off the field for a bit. I think the Packer defense is awful. I think that a really good team in the playoffs, whether it be a Russell Wilson-led Seahawk team, really good offenses will expose the Packers, even at Lambeau. I don't care where the game's played. Their D's not going to be able to stop anybody when it matters in January.
No, I agree with you. Their defense, and that's been the thing that's been a problem for them forever. The whole time Aaron Rodgers has been there, their defense has been bad. Even the Super Bowl they won, you know, they stepped up for a couple weeks there in the playoffs. The whole season, people were questioning their defense and if they were going to be good enough, and they did just enough to win after that. But other than that, it's always been Aaron Rodgers carrying that team. You know, there's a reason the guy has so many fourth quarter comebacks and Hail Mary wins. It's because he's always behind, and he's always playing because, you know, having to sling the ball all over the field because the defense lets him down. And, you know, for the longest time, they had no running game. Now they got a pretty decent running game. But again, the defense is always letting them down no matter who they sign or how little they put into that, you know, side of the ball sometimes. I mean, I felt the same thing with them that I felt with the Cowboys in the draft, where it's like you draft an offensive player. That wasn't your problem. Your problem is you don't stop anybody and you're not helping out your quarterback here. But you showed once again that I got to give them a little bit of credit, though, because the defense won that game. You know, like we said earlier, with these crazy rules, Phillip Rivers was not throwing that ball with his one finger. Don't give me he had possession with one finger on the ball, and that was an incomplete pass. They picked that ball up. Yeah, they ran it all the way back. That should have been a win. And then, you know, and the defense would have gotten no problem then. Everyone would be like, hey, they came up big when it mattered most. Yeah. But, of course, the rules changed. Even then, you know, even if MVS doesn't drop that ball in overtime and fumble it away, they're probably not going to talk about the defense because the offense gets the job done. It's just tough, you know. It's in both cases because, A, obviously the defense isn't good. But when you put that much pressure on the offense, it's going to cause problems with them too. So while you want to say, hey, the offense didn't help the defense out by, you know, the three and outs and stuff, well, the offense had to bail them out all season. So eventually they're going to get tired too. Eventually they take enough hits. They're like, oh, man, we got to be doing this again. We got to score again. We can't just, like, you know, take a couple plays off here. So it's on both sides of the ball. I just think they, once again, did not do enough to help Aaron Rodgers out on the other side and give him a little bit of break, and that's going to wear on them. And it might, you know, end up getting him hurt later in the season. It might end up costing them the playoffs one way or another. It's going to be the thing that does them in like it does every year.
We've got a crazy play here. The Rams punted the football away with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and the ball bounced. The returner for Tampa, Barner, it hit him in the knee, Mafia. So then he has to try to pick it up. And look, this is going to be one of these weird plays where I don't think the Rams, they gave the ball to the Rams. I don't think the Rams had possession of the football in bounds. He doesn't.
No, they gave it back to Tampa.
Did they give it to Tampa already? Yeah, there you go. There you go. So that's the right call by the official there. So Tampa's going to get the ball. Man, that kid Barner, he got saved there because that would have been a brutal turnover for him. So the Bucs are on the move, little screen to Fournette. Let's try to get Antonio Brown in the mix for 10 more yards
and win
us that prop. One more thing on the Packers. Like, I can't figure, like, they're still the sixth choice, Mafia, to win the Super Bowl at FanDuel. Like, they are right. They are, you know, 12-1. And the NFC odds aren't up tonight because we have two NFC teams playing. Earlier in the day, they were the fourth choice because they're behind the Saints, the Bucs, and Seattle right now. But I just can't see placing an investment on the Packers. I get you're betting on Aaron Rodgers, but, man, I can't trust. Like, there are teams, like, if Arizona went into Lambeau this Saturday for a playoff game, I would probably bet on Kyler Murray. Would you?
I would, yeah, because that defense can make plays. I mean, there's sometimes you look at lines, and like you said, you look at it and you're like, how are you doing that? It's because right. The book knows. The book knows that, you know, sometimes people are just stupid and they can't get past their own blind spots, their own love of teams, their own love of players. So, isn't one of the big spots they have a lot of books in Illinois, and it's pretty close to Wisconsin and Green Bay. So, how many of those people are jumping the border, and you know if they're going to place money, they're going to do it on their team. They say, okay, we'll sucker you in. We'll give you some, you know, we think your team's going to win. Go ahead, put some money on it. And they just know they're taking it out of your pockets because everybody jumps on the teams that score points. Everybody watches them and thinks that they're the best and they're, you know, the offense rules the world, right? And then when it gets down to in the playoffs, it's a team that gets a stop, that gets the win. You know, everyone was all over the Rams the year they went to against the Patriots. All of a sudden, their offense got shut down. San Francisco was, you know, throwing the ball all over the place last year. Now I know Kansas City had an even better offense, but in the end, it was their defense making plays to get them back in that game. So everyone's jumping on the Packers, and they'll jump on Seattle and some of these other teams because they just think that, well, they score all these points. How can you stop them? And then you realize, well, when you get to the playoffs, there's game plans to stop them, and it's when the good defenses that are going to shut them down and make that one play and win the game.
Like, of the three teams that would potentially go to them in the first round, that teams that aren't going to win their division as of now, like, it's Tampa, the Rams, and Arizona. I would take all three of those teams to win at Lambeau in the first round. I would. I would take all of them.
Yeah, we saw Tampa do it.
Yeah. Tampa destroyed them that game. I mean, they absolutely embarrassed them. I would take any three of those teams if they were going to Lambeau in a playoff game this weekend. Rams, Bucks with a big third down here. Third down and 10, right at midfield. And they go to Brown here. Get us 10 yards here, Mafia. Get us 10. Oh, he's got 9. Got 9 yards, Mafia. Got 9 yards.
They ran a Rams play against the Rams, and they stopped.
He did 10. They did run a Rams play. Do you go for this here, Mafia, on the other side of the 50, fourth and one? You're a little ahead of me. I know this already, right? Are you ahead of me?
You're going to go for it. No, I agree with you. You know, you got like I said before, you only got a certain amount of possessions left. You probably got one at best if you don't score here. So you got to go for it.
I need 1 yard now from Brown. They just put it on the screen. 57. The total, the prop on FanDuel tonight was 57.5. So we need 1 yard from Antonio Brown. And ooh, what happened there? They did not get it on fourth down. I don't see any flags on the field. And Brady will trot to the other sideline. We do need him to get back on the field, though, and get Antonio Brown that one more yard. So we're going to keep our eyes on this Bucks-Rams game. We've got a lot more games from the weekend to talk about. We need to do college football. We need to do some NBA. We've got a lot more that we have to get done tonight on Pharrell on the Bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty, 844-843-6879. We keep rolling right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the Bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty tonight and the next couple of nights up until Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours at home. 844-843-6879. We are watching the Bucks and the Rams here. Jared Goff, sometimes, Mafia, there's only so much Sean McVay can do to protect Goff. We mentioned it at the beginning of the show how he really scripts the game plan to try to limit the mistakes, make the throws as easy as possible. But sometimes Goff is going to Goff, and he just did on that last Rams possession. And now the Bucks have the ball, Mafia, and they are inside the 30 on the move against the Rams.
The good old Goff goof. I mean, I don't even know why you're really looking to do what they were doing there at that point. Like, I know you got to kill some time, you got to get first downs, but they showed like how under 2.5 seconds, he's great. Over 2.5, not. I can't count down to tenths of a second, but I think I counted about 2.75 to 3 there, you know, that he looked over the middle, threw deep instead of throwing these short passes they've been doing. What happens? Throws it right to the D-back that's just waiting there to jump the route. I mean, how do you not see that one? It's one thing if the guy's coming and he jumps it from over the top out of your peripheral vision, something like that. The safety was right in front of you. There's no way he didn't see that guy.
Yeah, just an awful throw by Goff. And Goff and Brady both have made some really, really bad throws in this game for interceptions. Bucks pick up another first down. They're inside the 25 now. Clock is really moving here. About 5 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter. They are trying to tie this game. They are down 7. So we are going to keep our eyes on this at the start of hour number 2. We're going to get in some more games from the NFL on Sunday. I want to talk about the Dolphins, Mafia. I want to talk about the Ravens. I want to give a little respect to the Raiders. We have a lot of college football that we need to get into. I want to take some wax at BYU. We've got NBA. I know you've got some thoughts on some of the stuff that happened in the NBA as well. So Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. We get hour 2 going right after this.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.